Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning. I am so glad you have chosen to join with us. You're so welcome here. If you're part of the BCV family, great to see you this morning. If you are not part of the BCV family, you are so welcome. And just again, receive our invitation to be, consider yourself part of our family. We're in a sermon series on courage. And last week I talked about courage to acknowledge and grieve our losses in these crazy times that we live in. We talked about taking them, acknowledging them, and then taking them before the Lord, and then watching for the gifts and being able to receive the gifts that Jesus gives us in and through the grieving process. And we were journeying that with Samuel the prophet from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. And today we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and continue on as we watch Samuel emerge from grief. And we're going to talk about the courage to have the Lord bring us up out of grief. I want to pause here and just say right off the bat, I'm not trying to minimize and simplify the grieving process or the griefs and losses that you are currently experiencing and that you're just processing through. I don't mean to suggest that, you know, we've done grief for a week and now we're immediately emerging from grief and that it's a simple and easy process. Grief isn't linear. Grief is messy and difficult and is a real journey. So we're not doing a, you know, that was done and now we're moving on. But I do think we are in a unique moment in our journeys right now as followers of Jesus, where we're actually called to do both. We're called to grieve our losses, but also to continually be poised and watching and waiting for what the Lord is doing and preparing to move with him. We're called to have a foot in both camps almost. Again, grief is messy. It's complex. And I'm not suggesting quick fixes for that. But in this unique moment, we want to do both. We want to grieve our loss as well, but we also want to be really responsive to the Lord about what he is doing in our day and in our moment and in our lives and how he may be leading us up out of grief and loss into the good future that he has for us. And that requires real courage. So let's pick it up again. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Lord has a question for Samuel as he comes to him. Samuel is in mourning. And the Lord comes to him and says, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Again, this is a tender subject because grief is incredibly complex. And if you're grieving this morning, and if you're suffering this morning, I don't want to add to your burden. But the truth is, we can at times get stuck and stay in grief longer than the Lord has for us. We can stay in mourning and we can let it define us and we can even let it take us out and prevent us from seeing what God the Father is actually doing and inviting us into and our part in that. See, Samuel here, he's stuck and the Lord comes to him and speaks to him. That's really important in the grieving process. The Lord decides when the time for grieving is over. It's one of the reasons why we need to be incredibly close to him. There's always, when we're in the midst of grief, pressure from maybe from ourselves, maybe from people outside of us to just go back to the old ways. And when will this thing ever be done? Move on, just get back to normal. And we said last week, we take a real wrong turn when we don't take time to acknowledge and grieve our losses. And it's okay to resist outside pressure to simply just be okay and to just get over it. But we also make a wrong turn when we don't emerge from grief in the Lord's timing. The truth is, it takes courage to let him lead us into the new future that he has for us after we grieve our losses. And right here in verse 1, we see a few things that help us see how the Lord calls us out of grief, some things to watch for. The first thing to watch for is a renewed calling. That's what Samuel gets. Samuel is the only one who can anoint the new king, the next king. Saul has already failed, and there's no way he's just going to accept the next king to come waltzing in there. He's not going to bow out gracefully. So it's up to Samuel. He's the prophetic, obedient leader of God's people who obeys the Lord above all else. And so this is a renewing of his calling. God says, I'm not done with you yet. Come out of mourning and do what only you can do. I need you to do this for me. God tells him, you have a part to play still, Samuel. And what if we still have a part to play? And when we get stuck and we pull back because of disappointment and grief, we're not making the contribution that we were made for. And that's okay for a time as we go through a healthy process of grief. But if we let mourning and grief define us and completely take us out, if we allow ourselves to become stuck, we don't play our part in the plans that the Lord has for us. So what can only you do? What can only you do? What's missing in your work when you're not there? What's missing in your family? What's missing in your church? What's missing in your marriage? What's missing in our city? Because somewhere, somehow, we got stuck in loss and grief. You know, renewed callings and callings in general come with both freedom and responsibility. Freedom, because we don't have to do what others are called to do. We get to do what we're called to do. There's incredible freedom in that. We don't have to do what others are supposed to do. They're supposed to do what they're due. But there's also incredible responsibility in calling and renewed calling, because we have to do what we're called to do. And that means we have to know who we are and know what the Lord is asking of us. And that only comes through time with the Lord and the confirmation of his people speaking that over us. And I believe this morning that God is speaking to many of us about our callings and who we are. And in this time of pausing and grief and lockdown and uncertainty, I believe God's speaking. Let's not waste this time. Let's not waste this lockdown. Let's have the courage to re-engage where he is speaking to us. Let's have the courage to embrace his call to us, his renewed call to us, where he says, it's time to be who you are again. It's time to do what only you can do again. Get ready. Nothing is going to be the same again, but I need you to take your place. I believe that's what he's saying to Christians globally. Nothing's going to be the same again, but I need you to take your place. So Samuel doesn't just get a renewed calling, he gets a new mission. And God comes to him and says, get up, fill your horn with oil. Now, what's this horn and oil business? Well, the horn was a flask thing made from the horn of an animal that you use to, you put oil in it, and it's what you use to anoint things and people, especially kings. Oil, of course, symbolizes the presence of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. So when he says, fill your horn with oil, after it looks like it's gone all wrong, Samuel, after your confusion, your paralysis, maybe not hearing the voice of the Lord clearly, get up. My spirit will be upon you. My spirit will be upon the one you anoint. It's a new day. You know, there's something about emerging from grief that is Holy Spirit work. I said in my Easter sermon a couple of weeks ago that the Holy Spirit has such a powerful role in a resurrection. And emerging from grief and loss is a resurrection of sorts. So it's Holy Spirit work. And God says, be on your way. You've got a new mission. So part of emerging from grief in that stage of life is to watch for this new mission and to have the courage to step into it and to take it. And as we are grieving our losses in this moment, what if we also were waiting on the Lord attentively and watching for the new things he may be inviting us into? So it's a renewed calling. It's a new mission, but then there's new revelation as well. God tells them, I'm doing a new thing. While you were mourning, I was working. And he hasn't forgotten Samuel, and he hasn't forgotten the nation. And he hasn't just rejected Saul as king and then left them in darkness and paralysis. There's another plan, and he's been working that plan. And he tells them, my new plan is there's a son of Jesse from Bethlehem. And it's an interesting set of wordings in the original Hebrew about this. He says, I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But if you dig into the original languages, it's more like I have made myself a king or I have provided myself a king. It's really interesting because in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when the Lord told Samuel to anoint Saul as king, the language is more, you give them a king. But in this moment, he's saying, I have made myself a king. I've made myself a king. This is the one I am providing. This is the one I am providing. While Samuel's been grieving, the Lord's been working. And it comes in the form of David, who we know from the scriptures is a man after God's own heart. While Samuel's grieving, the Lord is searching high and low around the hills and valleys of the nation, looking for one who has his heart that will be his king. Such a key it's why it's so key to be near to the Lord. What is he saying to you? What is he revealing to you? Where has he been working in ways that we haven't seen because we've been in grief and we've been acknowledging loss? What if we spent time watching and waiting for it and listening for where he's speaking new revelation to us? I think he wants to reveal to us the shape he wants our lives and our service to take in the future. If we're going to keep talking about emerging from grief and Samuel's story and what we can learn from it, we need to talk about courageous, costly obedience. Because in my mind, when I think of Samuel, I think of courageous, costly obedience. We need to be honest here, and that's a huge part of emerging from grief. Samuel's hesitant because he knows this is a dangerous move. So if you look at verses 2-4, Samuel says, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? So he's hesitant. This looks like rebellion, and he knows this could mean his death, and Saul could try and crush this at any moment. There's no guarantees that Samuel survives this. In fact, that's what you would expect, right? From a violent king far from God's heart to just crush what looks like rebellion. But the Lord says, take this heifer and say you're coming to sacrifice. That's going to be your cover. But that's still not even a guarantee because there'd be lots of witnesses there. It's going to be hard to keep secret. So what does he do? What does he do in this incredibly risky, costly moment? Well, verse 4 tells us what he does. It's what Samuel always does. Samuel did what the Lord said. Samuel obeys. Even when it's a risk, he goes. And get this, he even pays for the dinner. He even pays for the dinner. The Lord said, you bring a heifer. So Samuel takes one of his own and provides the animal for the sacrifice and the meal after for the entire village. His road back to doing what only he can do, his road back to emerging from grief, was a costly obedience to once again step into the role of God's appointed leader and father of the nation. But verse 4 says, the elders, when they saw him coming, they're afraid of him. Why are they afraid of him? Well, they're afraid because they can see and feel that he carries authority. And part of his authority, he's been sent by God and his reputation precedes him. But a huge part of his authority comes in his continual, costly, courageous obedience to the living God. As he emerges from grief, he obeys and he does what the Lord says, even when there's no guarantees that he survives what the Lord is asking of him. And as we emerge from grieving our losses, as we think about emerging from lockdown one day, are we prepared to emerge in costly, courageous obedience as well? To live out all that the Lord has spoken to us and done with us in this season? What part of the losses that you're grieving are going to require obedience today to begin to step out, even cost you to follow the Lord up out of grief? And are you prepared for the authority that's going to come on your life? As you've grieved well, you've had the courage to do that. And then as you've had the courage to take the Lord's hand and emerge up out of grief and begin to walk in the new shape he has for your life and your destiny and your ministry, are you prepared for the authority of the Lord to be upon your life. It's really interesting what happens next. Samuel assures the elders that all is well, and he ends up telling Jesse to bring his sons to the sacrifice and to the meal. But Samuel doesn't know which son to anoint. God didn't tell him. And back in verse 3, he just said, invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. So he says, I'm going to show you, but he doesn't tell him in advance. And why didn't God tell him in advance? There's going to be one called David, just turn up and ask for him and it'll all be. He doesn't do that. Why doesn't he do that? Well, I think there's a few things that are really important for us this morning. God wanted Samuel carefully listening to him, and he wanted him dependent upon him, and he wanted him close to him. So he simply said, you have to watch for the one that I'm going to tell you. And to do that, you need to be listening to me. To do that, you need to be dependent on me. To do that, you need to be close to me and watching for me and discerning what am I saying for you to do. This past Holy Week, we were in Matthew's gospel an awful lot, and we saw how many times in the Passion narrative, Jesus said to his disciples to watch and look and see and understand. And we talked about staying close to him to discern our times, what God is doing and what he would have us do and what kind of actions he has for us. And that's where Samuel is. He's dependent on the voice of the Lord. And that's where we are today, dependent on the voice of the Lord. We have to watch for him. We have to look for him to see the new things he's doing and have the courage to wait and watch. And God is also in this moment teaching Samuel about what he looks for. Do we know what God is looking for? Have we slowed down enough to consider what is the Lord looking for from us, from others, from our lives? Have we watched? Have we waited? Are we attentive enough? And there's this famous passage that many of us know that the Lord says, look, the ones that you're seeing here, they may look like kings, but they're not the ones I've chosen. In verse 6 and 7, he says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, which is one of the sons of Jesse, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The outward appearance versus the inward heart posture. We can take courage from that this morning as we grieve and name our losses, as we begin to emerge from that and to think about that, that life in Jesus' kingdom is more about your heart than anything else. That's how God sees. It's what he looks at first. And of course, all the sons go past and God says no to all of them. And if I'm Samuel, I'm wondering, did I hear wrong? Did I do something wrong? How did I get myself into this mess? God, you've got me into a mess again, again, again. But he just says calmly, well, do you have any other sons? And Jesse said, well, yes, but he's the runt of the litter. We didn't even think to invite him. He's so young. He's out there tending the sheep because we had to give him this wee job to do and all this stuff. And Samuel says, we'll go get him. And in verse 11, he says this. He says, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. We're not doing anything until he shows up. This back to this posture of attentive waiting on the Lord. Lord, you said this. I am not doing anything else until I fulfill what you've asked me to do. We're not going anywhere. We are utterly dependent on the Lord. And finally, David shows up and the Lord says, this is the one. This is the one. Earlier, Samuel said about the other son of Jesse, surely this is the one because he looks like a king. And God says, no. Now David shows up and he was a good looking kid, but nobody would have picked him. Not even his dad. His dad didn't even invite him to this thing. He's just a boy dressed up like a shepherd. But God says, this is the one and do it now. Part of the courage to wait and see and watch and discern from the Lord and stay dependent upon him as we look to the futures, understanding that as we emerge from grief, our futures may not be what we expected. So often God is inviting us into a very good future. And so often he's actually still doing the things that he was doing before our period of loss and grief. But the future's just going to look different than we ever thought it would. We had a set of expectations and they're just not going to be met in the ways in which we thought they would. God is still doing those things. It's just not going to look like we expected. And it takes courage to emerge from grief, to follow the Lord in obedience, to re-engage with our calling, but to have it be different than we thought or imagined it would look. But if we can obey as Samuel does, amazing things happen. See, David was God's greatest king. He was Israel's greatest king. And he had loads of problems. He wasn't perfect, but he was God's king. And it was different than the Saul plan and Samuel's expectations. And if you feel stuck today, would you consider that maybe part of the reason why you're stuck from an old disappointment or an old set of grief and loss, it might be about this issue, that you had some expectations about how things were going to go, and then they hit a patch of deep disappointment and grief, and now things are different. But God is still inviting you into a good future. If we have the courage to see, the eyes to see, and the ears to hear, that it's God's still doing good things. He has still got a good future for you. It just looks different than you expected. And what if all is not lost? What if all is not lost? As we engage with grief and even emerge from grief, what if all is not lost? What if God is still on the move, doing what he promised, leading us towards the dreams in our hearts that he's planted? What if it just looks different than we ever thought it would? How many of us thought we knew what we would be doing in 2020? I was going back over my talks from earlier this year and thinking about them. And I was looking at my first talk I did in the new year, 2020. And I wrote this and preached this to you. As we stand on the threshold of a new year, the one thing we can be confident in is the deep love of Jesus. The other thing we can be utterly sure of is we have no idea what awaits us in 2020. I don't know about you, but 2019 had some surprises. And 2020, no doubt, will be the same. And it will require courage. So on we go. And we're living this right now. No one expected the reality we are currently living, the losses we are experiencing and grieving. And now is the time for courage, to grieve them well before the Lord, and also listen to his voice, to stay close to him and get ready to emerge, changed, empowered, ready to pursue what he has for us, a renewed calling, a new mission, walking in new revelation. I want to end with this. As Samuel anoints David to be king, it says the Spirit came powerfully upon him in chapter 16, verse 13. And what happens here is God's plans and Samuel's courageous obedience meet together. And the Holy Spirit comes in power. Earlier in the book of 1 Samuel, Saul was anointed and the Spirit fell upon him when he was anointed king. So both David and Saul were hit by the Spirit, but they had different hearts. And so there were radically different outcomes. Will we have the courage to watch for the Lord? And will we apply our costly, courageous obedience to his plans for our lives? Will we cultivate hearts that are for the Lord and for his presence to sustain the power and fruitfulness that the Spirit brings? Do we have the formation rhythms with Jesus to sustain the power of God and the fruitfulness that he will bring to us? Let's not waste our grief and losses. Let's not waste our lockdowns. Let's draw near to him. Let's let him lead us up out of grief and into his good future. And let's apply our costly, radical obedience to his good future for us. And let's expect the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon our lives, to be upon our church, and to be upon our futures. I want to pray for us now. Just felt as I was preparing this that there's just people listening that at some point you got hurt in church and you've just checked out from Jesus and you've checked out from church and you've just pushed pause on everything. And now it's been a while. And if I had what happened to you happened to me, I probably would have done the same thing. I've been hurt by church. I've been hurt by our church. And I know what that's like. The trouble is that the Lord has significant leadership for you and he's coming to you and he's knocking on your door and he's saying, it's time. It's time to emerge from grief. It's time to do what only you can do. It's time to take your place. I need you in your place. And now is the time. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. Others of you, you are just like, you have just completely disengaged with faith. And you're like, God's got a plan for me. And you can feel the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart. That God's been working. Actually, I thought he abandoned me, so I abandoned him. But actually, he's been working in the background, and he's got a good future for me. That he's never far from me. He's never been far from me. I just kind of walked away. Well, I just feel like this lockdown moment is a reset for you to come home. So come home to faith in Jesus and ask him back into your life. Welcome him back into your life today and begin to pursue him. A number of others of us, I just felt like we just know our obedience steps. We've got some costly, courageous obedience steps and it's time. And I want to pray for you. And then lastly, some of us, we are still in mourning. And your courage step today is simply to acknowledge that someday this will be over. And I'm still grieving before the Lord, but I can see the light of dawn on the horizon. I can feel the first moments of the warmth of summer beginning to return. And I'm beginning to pray again. I'm not out of grief yet, but I'm preparing. I'm listening and I'm watching and waiting for the voice of the Lord for when it says, when he says that it's time for me to come up out of grief. And I'm poised and I'm ready. And I am beginning to dream about what my good future looks like. So come, Holy Spirit, and rest on the men and women of the Vineyard. For those who have been hurt and have just detached themselves from your church and from leadership, Lord, I just pray that you would visit them and say, now's the time. We need you back. Take your place. For those, Lord, that have just rejected faith, we ask, Lord, that you would powerfully manifest your presence to them and demonstrate how you've never been far from them, how you have a good future for them, and you're powerfully present to them now. For those of us that just need our next costly obedient step, Lord, would you strengthen us? Would we have courage for that? And for those of us who grieve and are in mourning right now, Lord, I pray you draw incredibly near and you'd show us where the light of dawn is on the horizon, the new things, the new renewed calling, the renewed mission, and the renewed revelation that you have for us. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts and fill your house. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.